Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food. Culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. With my southern charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking food 2012 and what I've been eating. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, we have a live call-in number. Our number here at the studio is 718-497-2128. Or if you're on Twitter, you can find us at Heritage_Radio. Send us a tweet. We're back. I'm back on the air after almost a month. Listeners, happy 2012. And I'm back in the studio. Glad to be back in Roberta's. I've never thought, Jack, that I actually miss a Roberta's pizza. Can you believe that? I eat Roberta's so much, and I actually miss Roberta's today. So I'm back, and the first segment, I want to talk all about 2012 food predictions. I know folks are like, yeah, you've seen a million lists, but I have to do it, you know? Some folks say I'm the person that predicts food trends, I guess. So I just want to give like a rundown of what I think is going to be the next or the hottest things in 2012. Number one, I think on my list is Greek yogurt. I'm sure some people are like, Greek yogurt? Yeah, I have that every day. But what really woke me up to thinking Greek yogurt is big. Every time over the holidays, I went to Georgia and spent about 10 days there. And usually when I go there, I'm like dying because I can't find my Sig's yogurt. I can't find, I think it's called Greek of Gods. All I can find is boring yogurt. But Greek yogurt was everywhere in the South. They even had Chobani at the corner store at the gas station. So I'm like, okay, Greek yogurt is going to be huge in 2012. I think we're going to see Dannon, all these regular flavors roll out the Greek yogurt. I know that there are two yogurt plants that are opening in upstate New York, and a lot have been going on around dairy. And Saxelby has done a few shows on the state of dairy in New York City. So I'm predicting, without a doubt, we're going to see more Greek yogurt and more brands getting away from regular yogurt and going to the Greek side. Another one of my things, I think you're going to see more online food content. Okay, that's a given, but one in particular I think is Pinterest. I'm completely addicted to Pinterest. Pinterest is not Facebook, is not Twitter, is not Tumblr, but it's hot. It's pictures galore. You can pin pictures. There's a social component, and I think you're going to see a huge number of food people going to Pinterest and putting their ideas out and sharing. I'm already on there. I know a few guests who've been on the show. Sonara Weathers is on there. She's real active on there. There are a ton of other food people that are on Twitter. And I would say when I look at the most popular repins on, I said Twitter, I meant to say Pinterest. The most popular repins on Pinterest, they are all like recipes and gorgeous food photos. So I am excited to see in 2012 how brands, how individuals, how blogs are going to use Pinterest to promote online content. What else do I think is going to be hot in 2012? Food politics becoming mainstream. I look at the circle of people I know here in New York City. who 4 years ago were, you know, doing a ton of food activism works, or, you know, really focusing on food politics. I mean, some of those folks are doing other things or doing food related things, but not like, you know, talking food politics all the time. And I think one of the reasons is you have a lot of mainstream people who picked up the food politics baton. And it's mainstream. I feel like every time you turn around, something about Walmart and organic food is in mainstream news. So food politics is going to be just normal conversation in 2012. I already see it happening. It's like a complete shift. What else? Two other things. Southern food. Ha, ha, ha. You know I got to say Southern food. Man, Bon Appetit is coming out with their... I guess this is going to be the February issue. It's all about Southern food. Every single publication every week, they're writing an article about Southern food. So in 2012, Southern food is here to stay. I don't think it's going anywhere. And right here at Hot Grease, you know, we give you a little spice of Southern food every week. So that's not going anywhere. And last but not least, gluten-free. I feel like gluten-free is not just going to only be about folks who have, you know, a low tolerance to gluten or celiac disease. I feel like gluten-free is actually going to become like an alternative. Like, oh, I'm trying to lose weight or I want to eat better. Let me do something gluten-free for, you know, 30 days, 60 days or for 6 months. So those are my predictions. I'm predicting all this. Last year, this time, I predicted the donuts. Donuts blew up. So take notes, y'all. These are my predictions. And the next segment, since I think so many folks are going to go gluten-free over the next few months, and a lot of people are doing their cleanses now and they're doing their diets, we are going to dedicate the next segment to... I'm calling it the gluten-free takeover. And so keep listening. We are going to come back with Beth Hilson. She's the author of Gluten-Free Makeovers. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We'll be back.
You know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by. You know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea. Free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairways. We're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
Feeling good.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. Remember, we're also on iTunes. You go to iTunes and put in the search box Hot Grease or either Heritage Radio Network. So I just predicted a gluten-free takeover in the coming year. And on the phone to talk gluten-free makeovers is Beth Hilson. Beth, welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you, Nicole. I like that. Makeover, takeover.
You like that, huh?
I love it.
So look, I have to ask you, I think that there are a lot of people out here who do not have some type of disease or health issue who might have decided that they're just going to go gluten-free for the next 30 to 60 or 90 days. Do you agree with that?
Wait, I'm sorry? Say that
Do you
again.
Think that there are a lot of people out there that are just doing it and they don't have any health issues?
I think so. It seems like there's a growing trend. And, you know, I think in general it's a very healthy diet because there are a lot of whole grains that are gluten-free that people can eat, and they have lots of vitamins and nutrients, and they're natural, and they don't have a lot of process to them. So I think that's fabulous. But if they're going to be eating all of the cookies and all of the processed foods that are commercially made, they might be in for a surprise if they look at the nutritional labels, because some of that stuff is empty calories, and it might be dangerous if it was if you were going to eat that way for a long period of time.
Right. So for folks who, maybe this is their first time listening to Hot Grease, mm-hmm. but we've definitely talked about the definition of gluten and who needs to avoid gluten. But let's give a quick refresher. Explain what it means, what gluten is, and what people or what diseases or health issues folks need to avoid having gluten in their diet.
Sure. Well, gluten is that protein in wheat, rye, and barley. It provides the elasticity for things like breads and pizzas. If you remember the old pizza maker who twirls that pizza over his head and it doesn't fall apart, well, that's because of the gluten in it. And so if you're gluten-free, that protein in the wheat, rye, and barley can really cause trouble for you. If you're celiac, it's an autoimmune reaction. And then there are about 18 to 20 million people who probably have a gluten sensitivity, which means it doesn't agree with them when they eat gluten. So they're avoiding it for that reason. And it's that protein that they're reacting to very often. Then there are a lot of people, I think, who feel more comfortable if they're not eating gluten. They find that it sits heavily in their stomachs, and it causes bloating and gas, and they might be sensitive to it, or they might just want to avoid it. So so there are a whole bunch of different people who want to avoid gluten. Now, strangely or unfortunately, gluten is a hidden ingredient in so many other products. It can be in gravies, it can be in soups, as thickeners. It's even used to ferment soybeans to make soy sauce. So there are lots of hidden areas and medicines sometimes where you'd have to avoid it if you're really strictly, strictly gluten-free.
So, Beth, I have a confession. I'm really considering going gluten-free for like 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do? Something that's not so drastic, or some of the things I need to do that's not so drastic, and my significant other won't realize that, you completely changed. What do you suggest?
You can get in there, right?
Yeah, how do you suggest based on what you've written in your new book?
Yes, okay, well, I think that's a great question because, first of all, when you go into the supermarket, shop in the outside aisles, which are your produce and your meats and your fish. And those are naturally gluten-free. And there's nothing wrong with a big salad and a little bit of grilled chicken or fish. So those are very healthy choices. And then go with grains such as amaranth, millet, quinoa. Quinoa is one of my favorite grains. And it makes a wonderful salad. Quinoa pasta makes great pasta. Or use corn pasta. When you're making your basic recipes at home, a pasta dish or pizza dish, just choose gluten-free pasta and gluten-free pizza.
You said corn pasta. What? I've never seen corn pasta, Beth.
Well, it's wonderful stuff, and it's available in most natural food stores. I also like brown rice pasta, and that would be a good choice to have. And your significant other would not know the difference.
Okay, okay. I mean, this is another question. I mean, I think about, I live here in New York City, and the few people that I know, if they come and they want to go out to dinner, I can only recommend like one place that I know has mostly gluten-free stuff. And it's called Risotteria, I think. It's all risotto. And so that,
Risotteria.
So, and I always think, you know, going gluten free that, oh, if I want to get the pasta, if I want to get the rice, I'm going to be eating risotto every day. But I guess what I'm just hearing you say is that there are all these other different types of pasta, rice.
I want to bash risotto because I love it, but it really is, doesn't have to be the only thing that you eat. And by the way, even Risotteria has wonderful pizza and breadsticks and lots of other choices. So you don't have to just eat risotto if you go there, but there are lots of resources on the internet. There's an entire network of gluten-free restaurants or restaurants that provide gluten-free menus. And that's at the, if you go to gluten.net, you can find that whole listing. It's called the GFAP program, we call it affectionately, and it's called Gluten-Free Restaurant Awareness Program. And then there are tons of other restaurants that are offering a gluten-free menu, and they've become so much more educated about it. I like to use this term that I call the gluten-free IQ, and that is, you know, test your server and test your restaurant if you're going there and ask them certain questions before you go so that you feel comfortable eating there. For instance, if they say to you, oh, you can't have the French fries, they're basically gluten-free ingredients, but we share the fryer with, you know, the crab cakes and the dumplings that are made here. And so, the wheat is going to flake off and land on your French fries. So that's a cross-contamination issue that would be a problem. And then, if they say, well, you can have the salad, but we're going to leave out the croutons, that's a great sign. You know, that raises their IQ another 10 points. But if they say, you know, the menu says we have gluten-free pasta, and you ask them if they use a separate pot and a separate colander, and they say, well, I guess we could do that, that tells me that they don't really know much about the diet.
Well, I have to ask you, speaking of restaurants, I was looking at a older episode of Martha Stewart's show on Hallmark Channel, and she had Thomas Keller on there, and he was actually, the show was all about gluten flour. I'm assuming that he has this new flour product. I don't know if it's retail yet, that's out on the market. Do you know if that's out on the market? And I know in your book.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Cup for Cup. I think the only place I've seen it sold is on the Williams-Sonoma website. But I have a feeling it's probably going to be sold in other places as well. And they also, I think it's Ad Hoc is the brand. They've got a brownie mix and cookies or cookie mix and a variety of other things. Everybody's getting into this business because it's huge. As you mentioned, I mean, a lot of people want to be gluten-free right now.
And in your book, you actually have a reference list of some of the best gluten-free brands. So if folks are listening right now on HeritageRadioNetwork.com and they just want to dip their feet in the water before they, do the all-out gluten-free thing, or someone who just recently found out they had a health issue, what are some of the brands that you reference in your book, Gluten-Free Makeovers?
Well, I'm gearing, you know, of course, I'm going with the lowest common denominator, which is the people who are seriously gluten-free, who are celiac and can't have a speck of gluten. And so I like the brands that are pretty much dedicated to doing gluten-free in their production plants. That would be things like Glutino, Gluten-Free Pantry, Energy Foods, Enjoy Life Foods, Pamela's Products, Namaste. There are a whole bunch of different, Bob's Red Mill is another one, and King Arthur Flour also has a whole line now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they've done a whole line of their own gluten-free mixes, and they're done in a dedicated plant as well. You know, very soon the FDA is going to be coming out with a labeling requirement with the definition of gluten-free. And so in advance of that, we're all kind of, you know, looking forward to that day when you'll really know what it means to be gluten-free. If somebody says gluten-free on their product, we'll know what it means. And that'll be very helpful for people.
That's great news. Beth, so, thank you.
And, you know,
go
the
ahead.
Other thing I'm sorry?
Go right ahead.
Oh, I was going to say the other thing in my cookbook, because basically if you go on this diet and you have to be gluten-free, I think there's a certain shock that comes over your entire system because, you know, every celebration that you have, every family event, every holiday, all of a sudden you go, oh, my God, I can't have half these things. So what I've done in the cookbook is really to make over everything that is your favorite recipe that has gluten in it so that you can have it gluten-free and to make it so tasty that everybody can have it, whether they're gluten-free or not, and they won't notice. So those were my goals, my objectives in creating the cookbook.
I have a lot of gluten-free books. I would say that yours is probably the most... It's a makeover. It's a complete makeover of meals that families or individuals are probably having on a day-to-day basis that if you just swap out a few ingredients, you're not going to, like, notice a huge taste difference or anything. So I think you've done a great job,
exactly.
Beth.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Listeners, Beth is the founder of Gluten Free Pantry, and her latest book is titled Gluten Free Makeovers, 175 Recipes from Family Favorites to Gourmet Goodies Made Deliciously Wheat-Free. Have a good one, Beth. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nicole. Take care.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Listeners, keep tuning in. We'll be back with one more segment of Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
When she was just a girl, she expected the world. She ran away in her sleep. Dream of para, para, paradise, para, para, paradise.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Jack Inslee is the executive producer of Hot Grease, and today's show was engineered by Carlos Elguero. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Bushwick, Brooklyn. And Roberta's is the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Okay, so if you follow me on Foursquare or Instagram, you should be. And if not, you should know that I check into every single food place, cafe, any place that has food. I do check in on Foursquare. And I haven't been using Instagram a lot, but I do. I have to remember, like, to check into all these different social media spots. But I'll usually snap a photo on Instagram of what's going in my pie hole. So 9 days into the new year, I feel like I'm taking it easy compared to December. Boy, I ate a lot of stuff, a lot of sweets, a lot of cocktails. So I've decided in 2012, because folks are always texting me, calling me, sending me emails about, oh, I saw you ate at this place, where they'll say, you know, I see you checking to such and such all the time. And so I decided to stop by. So I think like once a month, I'm going to kind of tell folks what I've been eating, where I've checked in, and so folks will know. And it'll kind of show you, really, I think, the trends as well. So the first place is, I have to shout out to the Cardinal, which is in the East Village. It's a Southern food spot. They've been open since like August. The owner, man, I forget his name. He knows all the guys at Roberta's. You know, everyone knows folks at Roberta's Pizza in Brooklyn. But the Cardinal is in the East Village in New York City. He's from North Carolina. And I promise you, this is probably the place that has the most authentic Southern food. I'm saying this, but this is crazy. I only had cauliflower there because I am trying to watch my proportions. But I sat there and watched the person that I was dining with eat some chicken. It looked like grandma's chicken. He had black eyed peas with chow chow on the menu. He had like traditional Southern stuff on the menu at the Cardinal NYC, and it was packed. So I had that earlier in the week, or maybe this weekend, but I only had a side of cauliflower there. And you saw me probably check in and take a picture of the cauliflower. It was actually the James Beard cauliflower. So I'm going to assume that must have been in Mr. James Beard's cookbooks. Where else did I eat in January? Let's see. Cool places. Oh, man. Luke's Lobster. Okay. Yo, I hadn't had Luke's Lobster definitely in over a year. I usually get a lot of Red Hook's lobster pound lobster because they're at the Brooklyn Flea, and either the truck is somewhere in Brooklyn or in Red Hook, so it's really easy for me to get to. But I have a confession. Most people that know me know that I'm just kind of like wonk, wonk, wonk over lobster rolls now, particularly the trucks and the small shops. Because when I first started getting lobster rolls from Red Hook Lobster Pound, you could get a lobster roll for $12. Yo, they're like $17 now. And supposedly, not supposedly, it's true, because I've talked about it here on Hot Grease, lobster prices are at an all-time low. So like the lowest it's been in years. So I don't understand why, you know, I paid $17 for a lobster roll at Luke's Lobster Roll. It was good. It was really, really good. But like 2 hours later, I was hungry. But yeah, I had Luke's Lobster Roll. I actually was on the Upper West Side. I rarely get above 14th Street, but I so happened to be headed to Harlem, so I stopped there and got a lobster roll. So I had a lobster roll, Luke's Lobster Roll. Shout out to you, the West Village. Who else? What else did I? Well, so let me talk. I do cook at home a lot, and honestly, a lot of times I don't snap my pictures at home because I'm like in the throes of cooking something. But I made chicken stock this weekend. I actually made it Saturday morning for my turkey, heritage turkey carcass. And so I have a few pints, two or three pints of chicken stock. I'll probably make risotto or some soup. So I did that over the weekend. You know, chicken stock, it's very simple. Carrots, onions, celery, all your great seasoning, bay leaves or whatever. So made that up. Gonna put that down, eat that, drink that or whatever in some way with some other food in the next week. And another spot that I haven't had, but going to order a bunch of juice huggers, juices and cleanses today or either tomorrow or maybe Wednesday. Haha, I said that last week. But I'm going to do Juice Hugger cleanse. I saw on Guilt City this morning, Guilt City, New York, they send out an email with all these specials. They're kind of like, I don't want to say Groupon because they're way better than Groupon. And they had, again, another company that they're offering a special on in terms of cleanses and juices. And then if you get Gwyneth Paltrow's email, you saw that she sent one. So I'm going to do Juice Hugger. Juice Hugger, he's in Brooklyn. He's actually in Crown Heights. He has like a little cafe. You can order online all the stuff you need. You can do like a 1 day juice cleanse. So I think I'm going to do a 3 day. So that's what I've had or eaten or drank over the last 9 days of January. So there you have it, folks. I'm really super excited about 2012 here on Heritage Radio Network. Some of you guys may already know this is show like 90 something, right? Yeah. So I'm almost at 100. I'm planning a party. It's going to have a Southern twist. But yeah, I'm planning a party. So if you're listening, be on the lookout. So you can be at the party. I'm planning a bunch of crawls. Last year I did a donut crawl. And fabulous guests on Hot Grease as always. We're going to bring, you know, folks in the studio who are under the radar and some people who are huge. So keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Remember, I'm live every Monday at 3:30 on heritageradionetwork.com. Otherwise, you can check me out on iTunes or our website. But until then, always take the road less traveled.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.